Good morning and welcome to Netia's full year 2014 results conference call. Hosting today's call will be Mr. Adam Sawicki, President and Chief Executive Officer, and Paweł Szymański, Chief Financial Officer. Following management's formal comments, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. Mr. Sawicki, you may now begin.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody, and welcome on behalf of myself and Paweł Szymański.
Good morning.
So with no further ado, let's go and jump into the presentation, which, as you heard, will be followed by the Q&A part. So starting with the full year guidance delivery, you obviously see the head numbers, our revenue and adjusted EBITDA, which came slightly short of the revised guidance. We still see the challenging environment, which resulted in the pressure on the top line, continuous price erosion on the marketplace, which resulted in the decreased number of RGUs, but off-net, which is very much in line with our strategy where we focus on the on-net services. As CapEx concerned, we had a slight overrun, which was basically caused by the kind of good reasons, which is the higher B2B access CapEx, where we are developing and we're hoping to see more of that coming as in financial results as we move on, as well as a higher CPA CapEx, which is a consequence of very good sales that we've seen in our sales volumes on HFC network. The above financial guidance obviously excludes the impact of one-off integration costs and one of integration CapEx related to the to acquisitions of Dialog and Crowley. On a key highlight, you see the revenue resulting in 1.674 million for the full year 2014, which is 11% down year on year, and only and 404 million for the Q4 standalone, which is 2% quarter on quarter. And 10% year on year. 20% of that annual drop we attribute to MTR reductions, which we seen earlier in the year. We see also profitability maintaining on the same level despite the revenue decline, and this is mostly thanks to the significant cost optimization programs which we'll be introducing during the year. We generated for the full year 272 million of adjusted operation cash flow, which is 12% down year on year, and 51 million for Q4, which is 23% down quarter on quarter, but 41% plus year on year. The total RGUs by the end of the year were 2,305,000, which is 2% minus quarter on quarter and 9% down year on year. Our net debt amounted to 93 million. On December 31st, which is 67% down quarter on quarter and 68% year on year, which represents a very low leverage of 0.19 of adjusted full year EBITDA, which amounted to 493 million. On November 5th, as you know, we signed a settlement agreement with Orange Polska, under which both companies agreed to withdraw all the claims and lawsuits and terminate as a result of it all legal proceedings. As a result of that agreement, Orange Polska committed and did pay to Netia the amount of 145 million Polish zloty net of VAT, and this was recorded as other income and has increased our earnings for Q4 2014. On December 29th, the management of Netia was notified of the decision of the Director of Tax Chamber in Warsaw, which established the corporate income tax for 2003 to zero, so SIT obligation went down to zero, which meant, as effect of that on January 8th, Netia received 81.5 million tax refund, and that amount includes, obviously, the accrued interest. In January this year, we're talking about 2014, but this is still the result of the work that has been done during the last quarter of 2014. we introduced a new restructuring program, which is kind of follow-up of the Netialight 1.0, which is Netialight 2.0, where we expect the additional cost savings, and we'll talk more on in details about this program later on in the presentation. On the January 30th, I have resigned from my position as a president and chief executive officer as member of the company's management board, and my resignation is effective as of 31st July 2015, which means that I'm still around for some time. Moving on more into the business side, B2B on a high level, both on B2B and B2B side. As you see, the revenue on B2B, starting with B2B unit, the revenue for Q4 amounted to 173 million, which is 1% quarter-on-quarter, and 3% down year-on-year. Our RGUs were on the same level, so we see very much the flat in here, 494,000, which means also 3% plus year-on-year. Going forward, we're going to change more how we show this segment. Maybe RGUs is not the best way to do it, but Pavel will talk more about it later on. Our adjusted EBITDA for that segment was 72 million, which gives us a margin of 41.4 in Q4. The CapEx amounted to 30 million, which gives us the operational cash flow, free cash flow, at the level of 42 million. So we see very much the flattening trends here. On B2B side, the revenue was 224 million in Q4, which means 4% decline compared to the Q3, and year-on-year is minus 15. The RGUs result ended up at 1,766,000, which is 3% down quarter-on-quarter and 12% year-on-year. And we see the decline in the RGUs still being very much concentrated in the area of the regulated services, where we are more into the mode of defending the current base, and we are not selling actively. The adjusted EBITDA was 43 million, and giving us a margin of 19.2, just below 20% for Q4 standalone. The capital expenditure amounted to 29 million in quarter four, which gives us the adjusted operation free cash flow at 11 or 14 million. Moving on into the RGUs, you see very much that we can observe the sequential B2B RGUs increase on our on-net services, which is very much in trend what we want to achieve. The increase in RGUs on-net in B2C is driven mainly by our TV and broadband services introduced in HFC network, where we started our commercial sale of the services mid-August last year. We expect the on-net RGUs share to grow, as well as we see the decline of our off-net RGUs, which is very much expected direction given the choices and the activities we are undertaking at the moment. As you see the decline again of the total RGUs is very much a result of the defocus from the proactive sales, from the products with a lower margin on our regulated access base, and where we really all the activities are being concentrated on retention programs. Positive net additions on TV services reflects very good sales on our smooth stream-based TV platform, which is now available for the much wider footprint than only IPTV, and we expect very good results coming from there, which is supported by the very good results on the HFC network. We did one thing in Q4, which is a reclassification of the recognition of the multi-room, which we now is being treated as value-added services. And if netted impact of that is of the reclassification, the group has connected 10,000 customers, TV subscribers, during the Q4 standalone. On the next page, which shows the financial performance, you see the revenue development by services. You see how the development of the voice services has been going forward throughout the year, as well as the data services. We see the increased amount of the broadband services and the clear decrease in the regulated access broadband. As a result of that, on their own network, the services are increasing. As a breakdown of the very more detailed B2B and B2C overview, I'll hand over to Pavel.
Thank you, Adam. Good morning to everyone once again. let me go through the breakdown of businesses within Netia. Let me start with the B2B segment. As Adam said a moment ago, we are considering changing the way how we present the results of the B2B segment, as we think that just looking at RGUs might not be the best way of presenting the development of this particular business segment. However, having said that, obviously for the purpose of these data being comparable, we decided to keep it for the whole 2014. And as you can see on slide 10, in terms of total RGUs, we managed to increase the number of services slightly from 478,000 to 494,000 throughout 2014. What is important, I think, is that we are adding services to our existing customers. We've got now on average 6.9 services per customer or per location, which shows that we are now sort of capturing more complex contracts with our customers. Having said that, however, what is visible in the numbers is that the average ARPU per customer is decreasing slightly, as the result of that, we are seeing a slight erosion of revenue as well. And if we move over to slide number 11, we are showing the breach of segment EBITDA between 2013 and 2014. And as you can see here, the drop of 10% in adjusted EBITDA is basically driven by improvement on the cost side, which on a net basis improved EBITDA by 24 million, and the decrease on the revenue side, which is driven by ARPU, mainly, as I said before, the ARPU-driven decrease of EBITDA is to the tune of 48 million throughout 2014. Other services, this is also a decrease of 25 million. This is the MTR rates that have affected the numbers in 2014. Moving forward to slide number 13, similar data for the B2C segment. Again, we witnessed a decrease in total number of services from just over 2 million to 1.78 million services. This is driven mainly by a decreasing number of RGUs within our regulated network, mainly WLR and BSA. Those are the services that we are losing the most. Again, we are experiencing a slightly improved ratio of number of services per client from 1.4 at the end of 2013 to 1.43 services on average at the end of 2014. ARPU in the B2C segment, again, relatively stable, however, trending downward slightly throughout 2014. if we move on to slide number 14, as you can see on the charts here, we are losing a significant number of RGUs on voice and also on broadband, but we have been able to capture more clients on the TV side. Adam was talking about this So I'm not going to dwell on this too much. However, I think the trends are visible, and these are the trends that we will have to fight also in 2015. Slide number 15. Again, the bridge of EBITDA, and yet again, the bridge is a mix of the drops or declines driven by the revenue side and improvements on the cost side. The revenue-driven decline of EBITDA to the tune of 143 million altogether. Improved by the improvement of EBITDA on the cost side to the tune of 118 million throughout the year. This slide sort of ends the operational data for the segment. The next couple of slides talk specifically about what happens in the network and more specifically about the HFC, the TV network. I think Adam will want to comment on those.
Yeah, just a short outbreak. Thank you, Paweł. As of the December 31st, so during the course of last year, by the end of last year, we covered in total 1.7 million households with our NGA network. And if you add to that the further 404,000 households passed, home passed, on our non-upgraded network, but still can receive the sufficient bandwidth to receive the TV services, so it's more than 2 million. If you include our all LLU, own network ADSL 2+, as ETTH, with a bandwidth offer of above 14 megabit per second, we are at the moment able to provide TV services based on our new smooth streaming technology to nearly 4.3 million households, which is a good news, and that's where we're trying to increase our penetration. We were really focusing to extend our NGA throughout the last year, and this project is almost completed. There are some small things that still to be done, but once it's fully completed, we expect to cover in total approximately 1,726,000 NGA home passed, where we can reach our customers with three-play service bundles, TV, fixed NGA, broadband, and fixed voice. And in the second half of the year, as a result of our newly signed, but this year, not 2014, partnership with Play, we're going to add also our the mobile services. We do not expect any further upgrades at this stage, and all our activities, commercial activities, will be focused on achieving higher penetration rates in already upgraded areas where we target them with very, very focused geo-marketing programs. I also mentioned a couple words about our sales in the HFC network, where, as I already mentioned in the earlier phase of the presentation, that we are very happy with the results. On average, we've been acquiring 5,000 new services per month to new customers, where we have the bandwidth offer up to 300 meg per second. And we have seen the ARPUs growing compared to our original expectations, but also as a result of very high, it's almost 93% share of both dual and triple play bundles in the total sales volume, which is a good news, and we're going to focus hopefully with the same speed and the same pace throughout 2015. The last but not least, a couple of words about our restructuring program, so Netia Lite 2.0, which is number 18. I mean, in our business, you usually never stop cutting costs, as you never stop delivering cheaper and more efficient services to your customer. So this is a natural result. This is not something extraordinary. But we've seen, again, the possibilities of flattening the organization, making more flexible decisions and changing the way we work. And as a result, we saw the potential of further redundancies and the changes to the employment contracts. And this will affect, we said originally, up to 350 individuals. The program is almost completed. We expect the vast majority of it to be done by the end of February,
And as it looks today, it's going to be slightly below the number of 350 individuals, which is a good news as well, because we've been able to find other savings. And again, as I said, the most, the biggest focus in this program is the organizational structure, the way we report processes, the way we work, and making the company even more flexible. This will obviously, we target the program to achieve during the 2015 and 16 the incremental annual savings, and this release of this the funds will be used for the strategic programs in the areas which we already mentioned, like the cloud, data center, and so forth. So we're building ourselves a very comfortable situation to be able to fund with no issues and very fast both the acquisitions and organic programs, which we believe are crucial for further development of the company. With all, that's kind of a short update, and moving now to the Netia Group financials overviews and handing over to Pavel again.
Thank you. You've heard the headlines, so I'm not going to bore you too much with the details that you have in the documents that we produced and published. But just a few words. If you look at page 20 of our presentation, as Adam said at the beginning, the revenue for the entire year was 1.674 billion zlotys in revenue, which is a drop of 10.8, almost 11% year on year. With adjusted EBITDA decreasing at a similar pace, 10.5%, with EBITDA margin of about 29.5%. What I think is a good news is the fact that that we are looking at the trend of revenue decline slowing from over 11% in the first half of the year to around 10% in the second half of the year. Obviously, in itself, it's a positive development, but there is no escape from the fact that we are still facing a very, very challenging environment, and the decline is still severe. We've talked about the declining number of RGUs and ARPU, and it all sort of pans up to the decline in revenue. It also eats into our gross margin, which actually dropped by 2 percentage points. And this is something that we are facing also in 2015, and this is something that we are trying to tackle as we go along. I think from that perspective, it is extremely important to continue the cost reduction, and therefore the importance of our cost reduction programs that Adam was talking about are even more pronounced when we look at the set of figures that we are seeing or that we were seeing in 2014. Just a few words the bridge between the statutory and adjusted EBITDA on page 21. As I alluded to in during our conversation or presentation after the third quarter, we created significant provisions in 2014. This were to cover the restructuring process that we were going through. And as you can see here, the restructuring costs amounted to close to 35 million in total in 2014. But also there were several other things that we needed to provide against. And as you can see here, there is almost 10 million zlotys in provisions for the sort of write-off of fixed assets. And this is something the very detailed review of the fixed assets was carried out in 2014, and as a result of that, we needed to take a hit of close to 10 million into our P&L in 2014. Obviously, to offset that, or more than offset that, we signed the agreement with Orange that Adam was talking about. Just to reiterate, it was 146 million zlotys positive impact on the EBITDA. Next page, page number 22, we talk about capital expenditure. We spent 234 million, including interest, to 232 without interest capital expenditure. You've got breakdowns by type of investment and also by business segments. I do not want to dwell too much on this. You've got all the numbers in here. I think what is important to emphasize that we are trying to optimize CapEx, and we will continue doing that going forward. We are trying to spend more shrewdly rather than just spend the money all over. And we will be investing. We are investing, and will continue investing in specific areas where we need improvements in order to be able to provide better services to our customers. The last page of the presentation talks about the events that had an impact on our profit and loss account. But Adam, I think, talked about those at length, so I just want to reemphasize two important factors. First is the Orange settlement, and the second is the tax refund. Those had positive. Those two had positive impacts on the P&L, and more than offset the impact of the restructuring one-offs that we took in 2014. I think that brings the financial part of the presentation to the end. What's left is conclusion, so I'll hand over to Adam again.
Thanks, Paul. So as you will to hear and see and read, the company delivered a very strong financial result, where we see that the business really is resilient against the strong competition and the discounting and the very challenging environment which Paul was talking about. We see very much the decrease of the dependence of the regulated access network, and we're going to continue selling on our own network, own infrastructure, where we're going to invest in the areas where we believe that it makes sense. So it's going to continue. With the saving programs, we build ourselves a possibility to invest more and to invest in the projects that are importance for the future of the company. That combined with the one-offs, financial one-offs that we had, both with the Orange settlement and the tax return, we have a very strong financial position going forward. And with a very low leverage, we believe we are in the position to still look opportunistically on the further consolidation of the market, but also to further transform the company into more data-oriented own infrastructure group focused on both B2B and B2B segments. With that, I think we conclude our part of the presentation, and we open up for the questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and want to withdraw your question, please press star 1 again. You will be advised when to ask your question. Okay, the first question is from Pavel Puchalski from BZWBK. Please go ahead.
Hello, Pavel Puchalski speaking. Two questions. First one, in your presentation, you failed to attach a slide with outlook on 2015. And my question would be, where is this slide? And the other question is, on slide 21, you present cost of restructuring in the amount of 35 million zlotys, and you suggest it relates to Netia Light program. I want to know if Netia Light 2.0, so extension of Netia Light, is included in 35 million recorded in 2014, or it will represent a burden for first and second quarters of 2015.
Hi. Well, thank you very much for those questions. Let me start with the first one. Well, actually, it was deliberate. It's not that we failed. We thought we will not do this. I think it, you know, there are very few companies that actually do present detailed forecasts these days. We decided after a long discussions that we will not include the forecast, the official forecast for the company for 2015. What I can say is obviously that we have witnessed certain trends in 2014. These were decreasing revenue and improvements on the cost side, and this will continue. Our challenge is to slow down the rate of decline on the revenue side, and then maintaining the gross and EBITDA margins going forward. And this is the guidance, i.e., a decline, but hopefully single digit decline on the revenue side, defending the EBITDA margin is our target going forward. So that's the first question. The second related to provisions against the restructuring costs. Based on our calculations, and this was indeed our intention, all the restructuring costs were actually covered or should be covered by the provision that we took in 2014, and therefore you should not see the one-off costs related to restructuring in 2015 numbers.
Thank you very much.
We have the next questions from Ondrej Kabecek from Wood & Co. Please go ahead, Ondrej.
Hi, thanks for taking the question. The first, I guess, most important for me relates to the dividend, or rather, what are the risks you see in not paying? I guess this would be M&A. And looking at M&A, I guess this would be TK Telecom. So I guess with the decreased leverage, the one-off that you're still to record in the first quarter related to the tax, taxes, the 82 million, those levels are fine, but what would you see as the biggest risk to a dividend? Then if I could ask if you have any targets, specific targets that you're looking at with the Play cooperation, and more last question, if what risks you see of the current B2B competition in Poland spilling over into the smaller segments of SME and SOHO, which would directly affect you. Thank you.
Thank you for the question. In terms of dividend, I think what we stated that we maintain the dividend policy, and given our situation, financial standing, it's not light on sea, and it's the decision of the annual shareholders meeting and the shareholders what they do with the dividend. As we as a management, we maintain the policy at the moment. That should kind of complete our comments on dividend side. In terms of the Play cooperation, I mean, it's going to take us some time to deliver a convergent products for our B2B segment. So we expect the result of it coming really in end of Q3, beginning of Q4, as we do believe that the convergence is becoming more and more important part of our sales. Having said that, we also believe the same thing or give the same weight to our data center and cloud products, which expect to come at the same time. So this increase of our focus on the new products in the second half of the year is our response of the increased competition on the B2B segment side. On B2C side, we believe that our mobile or mobility offering for consumers will be very much focusing on retention of the base where we have, plus adding new services to these areas where we have own infrastructure, and we believe we can do the upsell. So it's both a defending mechanism, but also the new sales into new areas where we have our NGA upgraded. On a B2B side, it's very much part of the package that we are building together with cloud and data center services, which will be introduced to the market in the second half of the year.
Yeah. In terms of M&A activity, as you mentioned, the only official process that is ongoing currently is TK Telecom. Obviously, it is the company that sort of operates within our space, so it's quite natural that that we are interested in how this pans out. But otherwise, I can't comment very much. The process, as I said, the process is ongoing. In terms of other sort of M&A opportunities, obviously we are scanning the market, but there is nothing official that I could tell you.
Okay, thank you. And if I may, one short follow-up. CapEx you have in the beginning of the presentation for 2014 is 221 million, and at the end of the presentation you say it's 232
yes,
million.
Correct.
With the breakdown.
It's not a mistake. Basically, what if you look at the table in the press release, the 221 doesn't include the sort of restructuring or integration related capex.
Okay.
It is sort of the last or remaining part of the capex that is related to Dialog and Travel integration. So 232 is total, or 34 if you include interest. Which you will see in the statutory numbers, and 221 is that without the integration-related capex.
Understood. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. The next question, it comes from the line of Vera Sutedja from Erste Bank. Please go ahead, Vera.
Thank you. So, good morning, everybody. My question is related to CapEx 2015. So, you mentioned about what you expected for revenues and EBITDA. Whether you can also comment a bit on what we expect for 2015 CapEx, considering you said that the NGA project is almost finished, so we can expect a significant decline in this one. The second question would relate back to the TK Telecom. When do you expect this process to conclude? Can you update where we are at the moment in terms of the privatization project? Thank you.
In terms of CapEx, I said we will try to optimize CapEx, but as you very well know, this business is CapEx intensive, and it will also be driven at least partly by our success or lack of it of acquiring new clients. So in general, I can say the CapEx is going to be lower. We are going to spend less on the NGA development and upgrades, but the variable part is the customer acquisition related CapEx. So it's going to be lower than 2014, but again the specific number is very difficult to pinpoint right now. So that's the answer to the first question, I hope. And the second question, TK Telecom. Well, we are not the seller; we do not control the process, so I cannot say when it is going to be completed. Difficult to say for me.
Back to the CapEx. Could you tell us how much was the client acquisition related CapEx, or unless it is already mentioned earlier?
Again, sorry, I didn't.
In 2014.
Yes. Well, could you repeat the question? I didn't hear.
You said that the CapEx 2015 depend on the client acquisition related CapEx. So, how much is this client acquisition related CapEx in 2014? So, just we have a kind of estimate the size of it.
Sure.
Like 50% of it, or?
No, I think. Well, if you look at slide number 22, the left hand chart. If you look at the CPE broadband, if you look at the IPTV dedicated CPE,
okay.
those are the CapEx related to customer mainly.
Okay.
So those are the areas where we are looking at.
Okay, so actually, if I'm not mistaken, if I look only these two points, they are quite the smaller amount compared to the whole CapEx.
It still is sort of 25% of the CapEx.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
We have no further questions, so I'll hand you back to your host to wrap up today's call.
Right. If there are no further questions, then thank you very much for your attention and looking forward to talking to you in a couple of months again. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining today's call. You may now replace your handsets.